Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, one of the questions you sometimes get from people, whether it's in a conversation or in a conference question and answer situation, is, do you think there are other beings living in outer space?
Yeah, Scott, I do get that question every now and then.
And it wasn't too long ago, you even did an interview with your son, Luke, a Navy helicopter pilot, about UFO sightings by other Navy pilots because a program on the History Channel was reporting on the alleged events and interviewing some of those pilots.
And there's no shortage of TV programs bringing up the idea of aliens in space and visiting Earth.
Well, that's for sure. And even though the idea of aliens from outer space is not really a matter specifically related to creation, you came across an article that addressed the idea of the existence of aliens from outer space that you thought had an interesting angle on the subject.
Yeah.
The author of the article discussed how the religions of the world would react if the existence of aliens became obvious. For example, if a spaceship landed on the White House lawn and an extraterrestrial got out and said, "Greetings, Earthlings."
Yes, Scott. Now, I know it's rather comical in some respects, but seriously, there's actually a large number of people expecting something like that to happen any day. Do you know that the original Star Trek series started back in 1966?
Yep.
That's 54 years ago. And of course, books and movies about aliens have been around far longer than that. And now we have digital technology that makes everything look completely real. So much so that as a result of science fiction movies and TV shows, people assume it's just a matter of time before the real ET shows up.
And a good number of them would be evolutionary scientists who are convinced there has to be intelligent life out there because, in their mind, by ruling out even the possibility of creation, they have no other explanation for how there's life here on Earth.
Well, that's an important point. It almost seems like some evolutionists would be happy if the masses forgot about the fact that it's science fiction.
Sort of like evolution?
Don't get me started. We'll get off track. What I want to do is look at this article. Its title is, "How Will Our Religions Handle the Discovery of Alien Life? Insight into what six religions might think if we made contact with extraterrestrial life and what they might do." Now, the article was published online on nautilus.us.com and was written by David A. Weintraub, a professor of astronomy at Vanderbilt University. This article he wrote for nautilus.com is based on the research he did for his book, Religions and Extraterrestrial Life: How Will We Deal With It?
Well, there's an illustration of exactly what I was talking about. He's a respected professor of astronomy at a well-known university, and he's writing about aliens.
There you go, Scott. We're not making this stuff up. And since I'm not planning on reading everything in the article, one observation I need to share is the entire perspective of the article seems to be when, not if, it's proven that aliens exist. But his observations of how different religions would respond was intriguing to me, because generally, when I get that question, do I think there are other beings in the universe, the underlying question is, what would it mean with respect to our understanding of the Bible, and in particular, creation? Now, frankly, what I think about the existence of aliens isn't what's important. What Scripture says, if anything, about other beings in the universe is what matters. And I appreciate how Weintraub takes the approach of looking at what the different religions' scriptures say, as well as some of their own scholars' writings. And I learned a lot from what he wrote. But that's not to say I agreed with all his thoughts, but we'll address them when we get to them. So, in the article, "How Will Our Religions Handle the Discovery of Alien Life?" Weintraub discusses six religions. Now, I don't know if he dealt with more in his book, but the six religions he deals with in the article are Judaism, Seventh-day Adventism, creationists, Roman Catholicism, Islam, and Buddhism.
So he defined creationism as a religion?
Well, that's interesting you ask that, because he doesn't say creationism. He used the heading creationists. So I'm not exactly sure how to interpret that, but I'm a little encouraged that he labels it that way. Generally, whenever evolutionists refer to anything having to do with creation as the explanation for origins, they immediately, dismissively label it as religion. It's creationism, as though there's no scientific basis for it whatsoever. But since Weintraub acknowledges, and rightly so, that there are biblical components to, let's call it, creation theory, he addresses how creationists might respond if there's irrefutable evidence for the existence of extraterrestrials based on what he considers our understanding of Scripture to be. And I'll inject here, I disagree with some of his thoughts about what creationists think concerning what the Bible means, but let's discuss the different religions in the order he presents them. The first is Judaism.
That's interesting. With a name like David Weintraub, is he Jewish?
I have no idea. He could be. On the other hand, maybe he's starting with the oldest religion. Judaism's roots go back to Abraham. Islam and Buddhism are not nearly that ancient.
Well, then with that reasoning, creationists should be first.
Adam and Eve, right?
Exactly.
Okay, but I can't speak for Weintraub, so let's just start with what he starts with. I'll read some of what he says about Judaism from the article. Quote, "There are a few reasons to believe that Judaism would outlast a first encounter," he means with aliens. "Since Jews believe there are no limits on the power of God, they are open to the idea that God is free to create more than one form of sentient species in the cosmos. Also, Rabbi Norman Lamb recently proposed that Judaism, quote, can very well accept a scientific finding that man is not the only intelligent and biospiritual resident in God's world, because man's non-singularity does not imply his insignificance," unquote. From Lamb's theological perspective, humans might not be the focal point of God's universe, but they still have purpose. So I'll stop reading from the article there. Well, I would agree that God is free to create more than one form of sentient species in the cosmos. And I would also agree that if man was not the only, what do you call it, biospiritual being,
yeah,
it would not imply that man was insignificant. However, the New Testament makes it absolutely clear that God the Son, the Creator, became a man. His incarnation resulted in him becoming, as Rabbi Lamb described us, a biospiritual being, thus enabling the Son to identify completely with his created image bearers. So, far from just not being insignificant, because of Christ, humanity is infinitely significant and is the focal point of God's attention. To just the same extent that the focal point of a bridegroom's attention is his bride.
It really is sad that the chosen people haven't yet embraced their bridegroom.
It really is, Scott. But someday, maybe very soon, it won't be an alien that comes to Earth from outer space. It'll be that bridegroom, and then they'll understand, and many believe. Well, then moving on to the next religion Weintraub deals with is Seventh-day Adventism. Here's what he says, quote, "Seventh-day Adventism emerged in the 19th century in part as a solution to the theological problems stemming from the possibility of extraterrestrial life." The prophetess Ellen White described visions of extraterrestrial beings in different worlds that were tall, majestic people and entirely without sin. These visions inform the religion's bedrock belief that since aliens are not affected by original sin, they do not need Christian redemption. Of course, a serious problem could emerge if E.T. turns out to be evil. In this case, White's prophecies might be seen as false, and Seventh-day Adventism would either need to find a way to adjust or vanish into history.
Wow, I never knew that about the Seventh-day Adventists' beliefs.
Well, me either. Obviously, Ellen White added to biblical revelation, and aliens are just one of the pitfalls she's dug for the religion she established. But the bottom line for Seventh-day Adventism is they apparently expect to find other beings from outer space. Now, the next group he writes about is creationists, but I'm going to deal with what he says about them later and skip to Roman Catholicism. Here's portions of what Weintraub says. Quote, "Many Roman Catholic leaders take the possible existence of aliens seriously. Brother Guy Consolmagno, a professional astronomer and Jesuit who works for the Vatican Observatory, reflects current Roman Catholic views. Consolmagno believes that finding ET would not pose a problem for Roman Catholicism. He argues that there is only one Christ who lived and died and was resurrected on Earth 2,000 years ago. If other beings in the universe suffer from original sin, they will benefit from the life and resurrection of Christ on Earth. This theological approach also makes Roman Catholicism a universal religion, and Earth the most important place in the universe.
That gives a whole new meaning to universal.
Yes, well, I don't know how they can reason that God the Son, who is identified as the last Adam and the second man in 1 Corinthians, can also be the representative of non-humans elsewhere in the universe. But apparently, Roman Catholicism will have an answer for the aliens if they appear. The next two religions in his list are Islam and Buddhism, and I was amazed to learn that both of them include aliens in their belief system. About Islam, he says, quote, "Those of the Muslim faith may not be surprised by news of ET's existence. In fact, Islamic scripture seems to make the case that intelligent life forms exist on many other worlds. The Quran states that all of the beings in the universe serve Allah, who, quote, does take an account of them all, and hath numbered them all exactly, and every one of them will come to him singly on the day of judgment," unquote. A number of scholars agree that these beings are not angels. I'll quit reading from the article. Scott, does that quote from the Quran sound like Isaiah 40 to you? Read Isaiah 40, verse 26.
Okay, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. I do see the similarity.
Yes, so do I. Of course, Isaiah was written almost a millennium before the Quran, but I'm pretty sure the Muslims would never accept the idea that the Jewish scriptures influence theirs.
Nope.
Finally, then, he deals with Buddhism. Weintraub says, quote, "Buddhists view the universe as unimaginably large, ancient, and filled with living beings everywhere. The very existence of ET is built into the Buddhist worldview, and so an alien presence wouldn't pose a challenge to its core principles," unquote. So I guess the Buddhists are actually expecting aliens. I have to admit, I never would have guessed.
Well, Dr. Scripture, something I did guess when you said you were going to consider all six religions the article dealt with was that we probably wouldn't have time to deal with them all.
And you're right, Scott. We didn't get to what Weintraub says about creationists, so we'll do it on our next program. And until then, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.